This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, they told us it was going to get cold, and they didn't lie. It's 31 degrees right now and windy, and it's only going up to 45, and that's going to be around sunset today. Then tomorrow, highs of 49, which means come parade time tomorrow night, you have to bundle up because it's going to feel cold after the sun goes down. High Saturday only of 56 and 55 on Sunday. So in the sunshine, not too bad, but in the clouds, you definitely go feel it. John Weibel joins us now, Louisiana State Representative, to talk about Louisiana leading the nation in post-pandemic reading recovery. How you doing, John?
Doing great, Tommy. Thanks so much for having me on and the opportunity to talk about this important topic.
It is everything when it comes to education and the future of the state, the future of human beings, the future of society. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic. Talk, if you will, John, before we get going, about your background and the importance of reading when it comes to educating young kids.
Yeah, Tommy, you know, I've spent my entire career advocating and being a voice for children and families across Louisiana and beyond, quite frankly. And I've always said my career prepared me five and a half years ago when I was able to assume the role of CEO at the Center for Literacy and Learning. I mean, this is really the crux. It's the foundation, Tommy, to a stronger Louisiana, to better opportunities for our students, to raise our people out of poverty. And this is really where the rubber hits the road.
Tell me what the situation is with literacy in Louisiana, generally speaking, then we'll talk about pre-pandemic, post-pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the Center for Literacy and Learning took a leadership role working with the legislature in 2019, created Louisiana's very first early literacy commission. We did so under then Superintendent John White. And then, of course, Dr. Cade Brumley came in and really, like, saw the value of our partnership, elevated literacy as a priority for Louisiana, and we have seen through that commission, through the work with Dr. Brumley and our partnership, our legislature has spent 5 years now adopting proven reforms, and now, Tommy, we're seeing the results. And what's most exciting to me, and there's many things that excite me about this, but most exciting, we're proving what we've always known. Students here in Louisiana can compete. They can compete on the national level. They can compete on any level when we give our outstanding teachers the resources and tools they need, and we give our students the instructions they need to build that foundation.
So why the improvement? Why is Louisiana leading the nation? What did we do? Well, I didn't do anything. What did y'all do?
So we focused on the curriculum, all curriculum in Louisiana. in the K-3 space is literacy based on the science of reading. That's, you know, the simplest way to explain it is going back to Hooked on Phonics, although there's a lot of other elements that come with the science of reading. It's equipping our teachers, making sure every teacher in the classroom is trained in the fundamentals of science of reading. And then it's providing literacy coaches. One of the most important things we did at the center for literacy and learning is we partnered with the Department of Education. We implemented a statewide literacy coach model, I want to say in 2021, and we started supporting our teachers on the ground, making sure from the administration to the teacher in the classroom, they had comprehensive knowledge and support of the science of reading and how we build those literacy fundamentals, rather, from kindergarten up. Those are really the elements. And now we're working on another component we believe at the center is just as critical, and that's increasing that family engagement. Getting families involved in their child's education, it's critical to our long-term success.
You know, I've often said this, and I think I told you last time we spoke, I learned so much as a kid from just going to the library and getting books and reading, because I'd see a reference to this and I'd have to look it up. And back in those days, you know, it wasn't parchment, John, but it wasn't the internet either, where you could just Google this to see what does that mean or what does this mean, what does that mean. So it really is like a branch, because you read a book and then you see a reference or a word you don't know, then you look it up and you learn that, and that leads you to learn something else and something else and something else. So I think that's why I'm such an advocate when it comes to reading, because I know the help that it gave to me. When you talk about the science of reading, and I guess teaching kids how to read, has that changed, or did we go one way and then get away from something and go back to it? Talk about that, if you would.
I believe we've gone back to what we knew worked some time ago. The harsh reality, the harsh reality is students across this country are not reading on grade level nearly at the percentage where we need them to be. It's like a third of our students. It's really building those fundamental skills, those foundational skills, because you're right, it's understanding that from birth to 8 years old, 90 to 95% of the brain of a child is developed. So if we understand how the brain development works and we correlate literacy instruction to it, it produces the results we're seeing here in Louisiana. That's why reforms like the Dibble screeners in the early grades, we're screening our students three times a year. We're really monitoring their progress. The third grade retention, which was probably one of the more controversial moves, reforms, that's why it's critical. And we're not saying, hey, wait till third grade to retain a student who can't read. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is we know the research and the science says from birth to 8 years old, which is third grade, you're learning to read, so that from fourth grade on, you can read to learn, just as you were talking about earlier.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because I want to talk about that Dibble system that you're talking about, and you have to, I guess, have some type of standard to determine at what level the child is reading. And I know this, having a teacher in the family, that, you know, when you get a kid in third grade that can't read, it's kind of hard to proceed with anything else from there. And I know that is the fact. It was the fact that this teacher was facing, and a lot of other teachers were facing. And what do you do? How do you teach geography? How do you teach science when a child is in a third grade, or at that point, even fourth grade and fifth grade, and couldn't read? And it was happening. I hope not so much anymore. 720, we're talking to Representative John Weibel. Louisiana leads the nation in post-pandemic reading recovery. We're talking about why, and he has spent his life devoted to getting kids to read. And I think it's probably one of the most important things we can do in society. We'll take a break for traffic now on WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with John Weibel, Louisiana State Representative, talking about reading. I can't read this sheet. About the improvements in reading scores, but then again, you know, you got to have the right glasses or you're not going to see anything. Before we get into Dibble, somebody texted in about, and maybe it ties into Dibble's, but about dyslexia and diagnosis of dyslexia and treating it, et cetera, because I know you've done some work on that as well, right?
We've done a lot of incredible work There we have, in fact, our president, Dejanay Clark Jackson, is one of Louisiana's leading experts, well-versed and trained in the space of dyslexia. In fact, this October, we will have the second Plain Talk About Dyslexia Summit. We're going to host that one in Baton Rouge. We just hosted, Tommy, our 30th Plain Talk About Literacy and Learning in New Orleans. Last week, we had over 3,000 professionals, literally from all over the world, ascend into New Orleans for an incredible three-day event. The leading researchers, curriculum developers, and the practitioners who are getting it done in the classroom. And it was so timely because it came on the heels of the Super Bowl, which, you know, shout out to everyone. If you're born and raised in Louisiana, you have to be incredibly proud of New Orleans and our state and what we pulled off on Super Bowl week. But right after that, we were right on it. We had the Super Bowl of Literacy right here in New Orleans, and we're also focusing on those students who have certain exceptionalities, certainly students with dyslexia. You know, when you just real quick, when you look at the Dibbles assessment, it stands for Dynamic Indicators of Basic Early Literacy Skills. So it's really an acronym. But it's really looking at the acquisition of literacy skills. It's given us a really focused assessment of where our students are. And that's really, Tom, I think, been, you know, the literacy coaches, the screeners, and really focusing on interventions at work. The commitment, I'll say that, the commitment that we have made to ensure that every third grader, at least third grade, strong in the literacy foundation is important.
What about the underlying conditions with...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Proper nutrition, et cetera, and the parental involvement when it comes to all of this, John?
Yeah, you know, I've always said throughout my career, you know, children aren't pieces of a puzzle. We can't just each work on our pieces and make sure they're good and then hope the child comes out, you know, educated, supported, and whatnot, that we have to look at the whole child. We have to look at the student. When my wife is teaching that 6-year-old, 7-year-old in the classroom nutrition, their basic needs, social needs, all of those factors play in. And that's why I'm really proud of the work that we're doing at the center, where we're really focusing, Tommy, on that family engagement. We're working with districts throughout the state to increase the engagement of families, just to find opportunities where they can support their child's learning.
And it's hard to learn to read when you're hungry, right? Or when you got some other kind of drama going on at home?
Exactly. And I've always said, you know, we have to acknowledge poverty not as an excuse for our students, because I think poor children deserve better than poor dreams, but we have to acknowledge it, that it's a factor that we have to address, whether it's nutrition, whether there's social emotional needs that need to be addressed, whatever we need to do to help our students learn, that's what we need to do. And it really is addressing the whole child. And look, we're proving it. We're proving that Louisiana students can learn at the highest level. We can't lose this momentum. This is our foundation for a better Louisiana, for a stronger, sustained workforce, and I really believe it starts right here.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. I really do, and your efforts. John Weibel, Louisiana State Representative. We come back, we're going to talk to Jan Moeller, Executive Director of InvestLin Louisiana. Yesterday, we spoke with Revenue Secretary Richard Nelson about the amendment to overhaul Louisiana's tax system. He presented his case for it. Now we're going to hear from Jan Moeller, the Executive Director of InvestLin Louisiana, whom I'm guessing is not a big fan. After that, we'll talk to J.P. Morrell, and then we're going to talk about weather forecasting and more. So stay with us. A lot coming up. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 744, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. I got a text last night from a friend right as I was wrapping up my massive weight workout, but we don't need to go into that here. But they listened to the interview that we did with Richard Nelson yesterday, and you can hear everything we do at WWL.com or download the Odyssey app or go to WWL.com, click on my name, and you can see what we talked about with Revenue Secretary Richard Nelson as it relates to an amendment that's coming up on March 29th, constitutional amendment that would overhaul Louisiana's tax system. He gave us his thoughts. I raised some of my own objections, and he responded to those. Jan Moeller is here now, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, to give us his thoughts on it, because it is a big old giant change, and there it is pretty complicated stuff, is it not, Jan? First of all, good morning.
Absolutely, Tom. Good morning, Tommy. Great to be with you. And yes, of course. I don't even know where to start on this amendment, Tommy. You know, for those who aren't familiar, this is a 109-page bill that makes hundreds of changes to the biggest article in the state constitution, and it got passed with, frankly, not that much public debate during the special session in November. If you remember, Governor Landry wanted to have a constitutional convention last year. The legislature said no. So he basically, instead of having a constitutional convention, they rewrote the biggest article in the state constitution in 20 days. And so that's what's on the ballot. And so there's a lot to unpack in this thing. But, you know, the last time voters in Louisiana made this kind of change, they spent 2 years debating it, and they elected delegates to a constitutional convention. So at the very least, I think, I hope voters would take a step back and say, let's take a little bit more time to consider these things.
Let's talk about your concerns as you begin to unpack this.
Well, there's a lot of them. We talked about the process, but I think the substance of this is worrisome as well. I think, first and foremost, there's about $4 billion in various funds in the Constitution that the voters of this state created that we're just going to eliminate. These funds provide recurring ongoing money every year for education, for transportation. That money is being essentially spent to pay for tax cuts that were part of that special session. So there's money going away that supports education and that will support transportation programs in the future. I think the other big thing is that it puts a lot of new restrictions and takes away flexibility from the legislature and how they can deal with future shortfalls. There are things in there, I think, that sound good to people, like a government growth limit. But what this really means is that even if the state has money to spend on something that they might want to invest in, whether it's early childhood education, healthcare, whatnot, if it bumps up against this new limit, they're not going to be able to do that. That's important, but it's especially important right now because if you're paying attention in Washington, there's a pretty good chance that Louisiana is going to get a lot less money coming our way for things like Medicaid, public education, and other things. If the legislature in this state decides, maybe we need to raise a little bit more money because we like our hospitals and we like our schools, they might bump up against this new artificial growth limit. So there's a lot of problems here. I think when people hear about constitutional change, it's designed to give legislators more flexibility. This actually puts them in a straitjacket.
And a suit was filed against HB 7 and the amendment that's on the ballot. And although it's being billed as, and I'm just reading from the suit here, as tax overhaul, The suit says although the proposed revisions were put together in a short two-week special session, they are extensive and would make a wide range of disjointed alterations of the Constitution. The proposed changes have no common thread that would be intelligible to voters. For example, the changes would narrow constitutional protections for church and union property, limit local control over sales taxes, liquidate several education trust funds, delete a fund supporting infant mortality programs, create a severance tax allocation for salty water, changes gendered pronouns, change the words husband or wife to spouse, and delete constitutional authorization for farmers and fishermen's programs. So I guess that's some of what you're saying, Jan, is that people, this thing is going to have far more ramifications than just tax overhaul?
Yeah, and look, absolutely, Tommy. And look, the critics get one thing right about the Constitution, and that is it's long and it's complicated, and there are probably things in there that don't belong in the state Constitution. And certainly we should look at reform. The way to do this, though, is not to kind of rush this through a special session in the middle of November when most voters aren't paying attention, because, you know, a lot of the things you listed in there are things that I couldn't tell you what they are. And my job is to pay attention right to the state legislature and particularly taxes and budgets. So, you know, again, it's a 109-page bill that is boiled down to 91 words on the March 29th ballot. Again, at a time when, you know, I think we're expecting a pretty low turnout, I don't think you can find a single person in Louisiana, including Richard Nelson, who can tell you everything that is in House Bill 7 that people are going to be voting on. So at the very least, I think we need to take a step back and say, you know, if you're going to do all these things in our name, let's have a long public debate.
My concern is that in this day and age, I think everybody tends to look at it as a, I don't know if it's a zero-sum game or you either win or you lose, and either I'm all for it or I'm all against it. When in fact, this is beyond nuance. This is exponential effects and then reactions to that and then more effects. And this could lead to that and lead to that and lead to that. And the difference is this changing the Constitution. So we require another constitutional amendment once this goes into effect. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And look, I'm not saying that everything in, that they passed is bad policy, you know, but you're absolutely right. These things need longer debate, much more consideration, because we're going to have to live with these changes for years and years going forward. You know, the Constitution should be you know, a document about fundamental rights and responsibilities. And anytime you should change it, you should be extremely careful because, you know, and the authors have already said that there were some mistakes made. And they're already talking about having cleanup legislation in the spring to clean up some of the things that they got wrong in this constitutional amendment. That's what happens when you try to do a constitutional convention squeezed into a special session in November. Mistakes get made.
You clean this up. When we come back, you can talk about this. How do you clean it up? If it's an amendment, can you clean it up in a session without another amendment? 752, more with Jan Moeller when we come back, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. And I would just ask everybody to try to figure out what this amendment says and not just blindly assign your trust to any one party, Democrat or Republican, and presume that everybody's acting in your best interest, because traditionally in politics, that's not the way it works. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:57 a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Come March 29th, you're going to be invited to the polls to cast your ballot in support of or against Louisiana Amendment 2, State and Fiscal Policy Changes Amendment, which covers really a lot more than that. Yesterday, we talked to Richard Nelson, Revenue Secretary. You can go back and listen to that. We're talking to Jan Moeller now, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. So, Jan, before the break, you said that they've admitted there were some mistakes and they would, quote, clean that up in the legislative session. And I don't mean to get too far into the weeds here, but if you've ever played golf for money, you know that in the weeds, that's where most of the cheating happens. So, so with that in mind, how do you clean up something in a session that's changed by amendment in March?
That's a great question, Tommy, and we're going to find out. That's a question for Richard Nelson. But I know that they already said that, because they made hundreds of tax changes in the special session. And I think Richard Nelson is on record saying that they accidentally decided to take away a sales tax exemption for sports tickets to nonprofit events. And they said, and when that was pointed out, they said, well, we didn't really mean that. We'll go back in the spring and we'll clean it up. And I don't know if that's in the Constitution or not, but it's an example of unintended consequences that happens when you, again, pass a 109-page bill during a 20-day session when you had dozens of other bills going through the process, instead of taking your time and doing this the way they did it in 1972 and 73. The last time they made this magnitude of changes, they elected delegates. They had an entire year of debate. So people at least had no reason to be ignorant of what was on the ballot when they did this the last time.
So what you're saying is, we only have a second left, is that not everything in that amendment is bad. However, this is no way to go about it. Accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate your time. Executive Director of Invest Louisiana. Go to WWL.com. Hear what Richard Nelson had to say about it yesterday. We'll be back with J.P. Morrell on WWL.